We have several public hearings and maybe one session today. First up is House Bill 2025, and we'll hear a little bit from our committee administrator on this bill.
Yes, Mr. Chair, this is House Bill 2025, prohibits assessors from considering federal income tax credits when determining the real market value of low-income housing.
Thank you, sir. And we will open a public hearing on House Bill 2025. And we'll have Bob Gillespie and the attorney.
Thank you.
Please introduce yourselves for the record and tell us about your bill.
Okay. Chair Canoop, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Bob Gillespie. I'm the Housing Division Administrator for the Housing and Community Services Department.
And Chair, I am Rochelle Nadeau from the Oregon Department of Justice, here representing the agency for the Housing Division and the Department of Revenue.
I appreciate the opportunity to come before you today to speak in favor of House Bill 2025, which would correct in part a problem impeding both our ability to continue financing affordable housing at the current rate and the financial viability of many of our sponsors in the field. The questions today concern the valuation of properties that are financed with low-income housing tax credits. And just as a matter of background, the tax credits are the largest subsidy that we have to fund affordable housing development in the state. It finances housing for persons that are between 30% and 60% of median income. It annually puts out about in excess of $60 million for the financing of housing for lower income persons. It typically funds about half of the development of these projects. There have been two primary issues that have existed on the valuation of properties that are financed with low-income housing tax credits. The first is whether you count the value of the credits that are received in the valuation of the property. And then the second is what method of appraisal that you'd use in order to assess the property. The first issue of whether you include the tax credits in the valuation is what House Bill 2025 is concerning, and it's following the advice of the Department of Justice that these should not be included in the valuation of the property. The second issue on how you actually assess the property is whether you use a market income or any one of the three approaches or a hybrid of those is up for discussion with a working group that we hope will reconvene shortly, and we look for an administrative solution to that as opposed to a legislative solution. I don't think it matters which side of this issue that you're on. I think everybody that has been concerned with this wants to see the outcome that there be a consistent way to evaluate the properties that are financed with low-income housing tax credits consistently. And currently, I don't think we have that consistency that assessors are using different methods of valuing the properties. And that creates difficulties for those of us that are financing the project and for those that are trying to develop the projects. I think in part if when people are financed or putting together performance with income and expense statements, they have to make reasonable estimates for those of us that are funding them about what their expenses are going to be. And if we look at these projects and these applications, and if their expenses are too high, then we're going to begin questioning whether they actually need the subsidy that they're requesting. That being the typical pattern by which we evaluate, you know, the need for subsidies in affordable housing. Most of the sponsors are, when they are looking at the expenses, know that, and particularly when they're estimating the property tax expenses, they're not necessarily going with a higher estimate. And this has caught some of our sponsors in the field by surprise. There have been projects that have gone to their assessors, thought they had a reasonable estimate of the property taxes, and have gone from like $20,000 to $22,000 between the estimate and what their actual property tax expenses were. And they simply don't, these projects simply don't have that kind of margin to pay those types of additional expenses for property taxes. What happens to these projects is they end up dipping into their operating reserves the first year they're placed in service. And in two or three years, they've exhausted those operating reserves, and they can then go into technical default with their lenders. We don't want to see projects go into technical default. People that are lending on these projects don't want to see it, nor the people that are buying the tax credits want to see that these are a risky deal. So we as a state agency, you know, when we saw this was happening, we've gone out and have advised sponsors that if you have to estimate on the property taxes, if there isn't that consistent way that you can rely on, and you should estimate on the high side, because we want these projects to be viable, to be long-lasting. And but when we say that to them, that means that they're estimating their expenses higher. That means there's less money to handle debt service. That means we have to put more subsidy in projects. And we as a state agency then can fund less affordable housing development around the state. What we're looking for is an equitable solution that does, that solves the two things. One, that through the administrative bureau, we hope to reach a solution that says that you have to value the market restrictions of these properties. And then secondly, we're looking for House Bill 2025 that would say that you don't include the taxes in the valuation of the property. I'm sorry, you don't include the income earned from the tax credits in the valuation of the property. What we're not asking for is an exemption or an abatement of taxes. We do believe that we have to pay the fair share of the taxes. These are complex issues. We've had groups of people that have been working on these since the last legislative sessions, both local assessors and local housing providers, ourselves and the Department of Revenue. We ran into technical difficulties. We went to the Department of Justice, and they have given us a letter of advice, which includes the recommendation that's before you today for 2025. As I said earlier, we do intend to reconvene the working group and hope for an administrative solution as to what method you value these properties by. But however, the issue of House Bill 2025 addresses requires a legislative solution. We'd ask that you please provide that solution by voting House Bill 2025 out of this committee with a due pass recommendation. I thank you for your attention, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Are there any questions from the committee?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Zahner.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Rent restrictions, how can you explain that and how they would apply here? I see the Oregon Court of Appeals has said they must apply.
Okay. Chair Knopf and Representative Zahner, in answer to that question, when we award the tax credits to the project, whatever they submit to us in the application, we'll say that they're going to make this development affordable to persons that are 50% of that area's median income, which would be whatever the county is. We write a restrictive agreement that goes against the property that says that those rents can never exceed that limit for the duration of the agreement, which is a minimum of 30 years. And if they tell us in the application it's going to be 50 years, then we will write the agreement for 50 years. Yeah, anything to add?
Representative Rosenbaum.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I actually did not have a question, but Mr. Gillespie was urging us to send the bill with a due pass, and I was just going to point out to members of the committee that the bill does have a subsequent referral on it now to the Revenue Committee, so I assume you're urging us to send it on with a due pass recommendation, but we wouldn't actually be sending it for a floor vote at this point. It would still have to go through the Revenue Committee.
Thank you for that.
Representative Merkley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I wanted to clarify one issue for the record, because it's an issue I had some concern about. I think that concern has been alleviated, but I wanted to make sure and have it clarified. Often in appraisals, you have different strategies that you've placed different weights on. You have a cost approach or an income approach or a comparable properties approach. And it's my understanding that this is really related to the cost approach when one looks at really all the money that went into the property. My concern was that the way this is written, where it says may not include consideration of value derived directly or indirectly, is that this could be read some time from now with some confusion as to whether it was meant to apply to the sales approach and might even be meant to be changing the law that was established by the court, Oregon Court of Appeals, back in, I believe it was 1994. And so could you address that for the record, that if I understand correctly, it's not the intention to overturn in any way the decision made regarding the restrictions on rents being taken into consideration during the appraisal process?
Chair Knope and Representative Berkeley, I'll defer to my attorney on that one.
Thank you, Chair Knope and Representative Berkeley. This is Rochelle Nadeau from the Oregon Department of Justice. And I believe the court case that you may be referring to is at the Bay Ridge.
Mm-hmm.
It was the Bay Ridge decision out of the Oregon Supreme Court. And it's our feeling that the concept in H. House Bill 2025 clarifies, it helps to clarify the concept that was started with that Bay Ridge decision. What we're trying to do with this bill is to clarify that real market value, the real market value that Oregon uses for its basis for property tax assessment, does not include non-real estate interests. And these income tax credits are, according to more recent appraisal theory from the American Appraisal Institute, they are considered to be non-real estate interests. And this isn't intended to cover just the cost approach. It's correct, Representative Merkley, that an appraisal might use any one or a combination of all three approaches to valuation. And in any one of those approaches, this bill would tell the appraiser or the assessor that whatever way they approach the valuation problem, they don't include a value for the income tax credits, because that would result in what's considered investment value rather than real market value.
Clarification, Mr. Chair. The thing I was concerned about was the language indirectly, because the tax credits are indirectly or directly responsible for the rent restrictions used in the income strategy of appraisal. And I just wanted to make sure that this is not intended to eliminate the process of taking into account the restrictions placed on rent by the tax credit agreement.
Excuse me, Representative Merkley. No, I don't believe so. The use of the word indirectly was put in there so that let me backtrack. This valuation question is the subject of much debate, even among experts in the appraisal field. And that's one reason we're here, to try to help the assessors and the appraisal field get some clarification. And we have the Appraisal Institute and the Supreme Court in support. But we were concerned that those who disagree with this approach, there are those who may wish to try to capture every possible tax dollar in the valuation, that they may try to trace the money that comes in from the sale of the income tax credits, and because that then is put into the pool of development money, it becomes an indirect source, and we didn't want that to happen. I think that was the direction of our language.
Thank you.
Chair Knope and Representative Burke, and continuing that question, I think that this doesn't preclude that if we use an income approach, that you don't include the rent restrictions in the valuation using the income approach.
Thank you.
This is further clarification.
Any other questions from the committee? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next up is John Blatt, Association of Oregon Community Development.
Mr. Chair, Representative of the Committee, my name is John Blatt. I am the Executive Director of the Association of Oregon Community Development Organizations. For lack of a better description, I am the head of the Trade Association for nonprofit groups that develop affordable housing and do economic development in communities throughout the state. They collectively, they own over 8,000 of these kinds of units that are restricted rents, that had and many of them are impacted with the issue that we're talking about today. I think that the department and the representative from the Department of Justice did a very nice job of presenting the issues and the problems, so I'm not going to go back and rehash those issues. They are real. They are impacting projects today, and there are at least a handful of projects that are on a trajectory to be out of reserves in 3 to 5 years. At that point, they wouldn't be able to pay their mortgages. They would be taken into foreclosure by the banks. At that point, the rent restrictions are waived, and they can be sold back at market rates, and you lose all of the investment that went into these projects. And so I just want to emphasize it is a very real problem. It has been a problem for a period of time, and a number of projects are already in appeal for their tax assessment. My concern about the bill, the way it is written, and my only concern right now, is that is the implementation date. We need something that is retroactive that goes back and fixes older projects that are already in the pipeline that have already appealed their assessment because it was too high. So that is the only concern that I have about the bill. The rest of the bill, we are very supportive of. We're supportive of the work the department has done and the Department of Revenue.
Thank you. Are there any questions? Representative Murphy?
Sure, thank you. Do you know the background as to why July 1st, 2002 was chosen?
I do not. Representative Merkley, I was not part of the discussion that went on. I don't know if it came from that, from the discussions that went on last spring, but I am not aware of that question. I think we have a couple of...
Mr. Chair, Representative Merkley, my name is John Van Lanningham. I'm a lawyer from Eugene. I've been involved in this for years. The work group didn't do this. It came from the Legislative Council. I couldn't tell you why LC put it there.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The date is July 1, 2002, and you mentioned you preferred a different date. What date did you have in mind?
If I understand what has happened in the past correctly, the change that is current that we're trying to fix goes back to, I think, the tax year that started July 1 of 96. That's my understanding of the issue right now. But that I'm going to clarify and say that I'm not 100% certain of that date.
Any other questions?
If not, thank you very much. Is there anyone else that would like to give testimony on House Bill 2025? If not, we will close the public hearing and we will open a work session on House Bill 2025. This bill has a referral to what's known as, well, it used to be known as revenue. Somebody can tax fairness and
school funding committee,
otherwise known as revenue.
Mr. Chair, I would move House Bill 2025 to the tax fairness and school funding committee with the due pass recommendation.
We have some proper waiters there.
Did you ever have this wired with somebody? You want to read that for me? Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2025 to the floor with a due pass recommendation that the bill be referred to the Committee on School Funding and Tax Fairness Revenue by prior reference. And you read this part.
I got to fill in his name. Hold on. Representative Leonard
moves House Bill 2025 to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that the bill be referred to the Committee on School Funding and Tax Fairness, otherwise known as revenue, by prior reference. Is there any discussion? Representative Rosenbaum.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think the testimony has raised some excellent technical issues, and actually, since Representative Merkley and I served on the Revenue Committee, I'm a bit nostalgic for being on the Revenue Committee to get to work all those out, but I am confident that that is the place that they will properly be addressed, and also I think the retroactivity issue can be addressed there, so I am speaking in support of Representative Leonard's motion.
Representative Merkley, are you?
Mr. Chair, thank you.
Yes.
I strongly support the bill. this has been an issue for almost, well, at least since it was an issue before 1994, before the court decision. As I was a nonprofit developer with Human Solutions at the time this issue came up, and it affected a project I was working on, it affected it at that point over the question of the rent restrictions, and the county wanted to assess it as if there were no restrictions. And there's a huge difference between what you charge under the median income commitments for a long period of time, and groups were pledging to maintain these as part of their contract for tax credits for 30 to 50 years, and what the market will bear over that time period. And so it's very important that the precedent be set. And the court decision did help on the sales end. It seems this issue hadn't come up at the time I was there of considering the sale of tax credits and whether that money that went into the project and should raise the value. But I think from a common sense point of view, one can see that just because the tax credits were sold and money came into the project, that doesn't increase in any real way on the street the value of a complex that would be established either by income method or by comparative basis. So I'm glad we can expedite this to its next stage, and I hope to see it resolved. I do think the language is difficult to sort through, but it sounds like it's been worked on by a lot of people trying to make the best of it, and if there isn't anything better and this does it, well, then we can live with it.
Thank you. Representative Walker.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to thank John Van Lamingham from my community. We actually had a meeting on Saturday with our legislative delegation to talk about affordable housing issues, and this is one of those that we talked about. I had my staff bring down my file so I could review my notes, and it's exactly right on point, and I appreciate having the opportunity to send this down to revenue, and hopefully it doesn't die there, but we'll do our best.
Any other discussion? I would like to Representative Walker, Representative Backlund?
No, I'm just leaning forward.
You're just leaning forward? Just like you're left to the microphone.
I'm poised to hear what you have to say.
I said we are.
Chair, appreciate your attention. Jerry Bieberle cannot be with us today, but I know he would have wanted to testify on this bill, so I wanted to recognize his efforts in that regard. I also want to recognize former County Commissioner Nancy Schlangen, who contacted me in regards to this issue, and Marcus Lopez, who's with the Central Oregon Community Action Agency Network from my area, who had a particular interest in this bill and would have wanted to testify today, but he couldn't make it over. So I wanted to let the committee know of local support from my community as well, and that I support the concept of the bill, and will urge the Chair of Revenue to take a look at this as soon as they can get it onto their schedule. Is there any other discussion? If not, we will go back to, it has been moved that we send House Bill 2025 to the floor with a due pass recommendation, and that the bill be referred to the Committee on School Funding and Tax Fairness, otherwise known as revenue, by prior reference. Those in favor of the motion will vote aye, and those who vote no, and the clerk will call the roll.
Nelson.
Aye.
Rosenbaum.
Aye.
Walker.
Aye.
Wilson?
Aye.
Warner?
Aye.
Backlund?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Murphy?
Aye.
No. Aye. Having received the enough votes to move this to the Revenue Committee, it will be heading there shortly, and we thank the committee for their attention to the bill. We will close the work session on House Bill 2025. We're going to recess committee for about 3.5 minutes. How about that?
3.5 minutes.
Yeah. 3.5. Yeah, the clock is ticking.
Synchronous there, watch.